From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham.
This little light of mine.
A musical tribute to the 29 men killed in a West Virginia coal mine explosion as President Obama and Vice President Biden led thousands who gathered there for a memorial service today. John Hingsenbergen of West Virginia Public Broadcasting reports the president praised the fallen miners, offered words of condolence to their families, and pledged to toughen federal mining regulations.
The president referred to emails and letters he has received, asking that he keep the miners in his thoughts and not let such a disaster happen again.
Our task here on Earth is to save lives from being lost in another such tragedy. To do what we must do individually and collectively to assure safe conditions underground.
Mr. Obama offered personal condolences to some family members and received a standing ovation from those in attendance. For NPR News, I'm John Hingsbergen in Beckley, West Virginia.
A test vote is looming in the Senate tomorrow on efforts to advance a bill to overhaul the nation's financial regulations. GOP leader Mitch McConnell says Republicans will try to block the move to cut off debate on the measure, even as some GOP lawmakers negotiate with Democrats on a bipartisan compromise bill. Danielle Carson reports there's disagreement over how much the legislation will rein in Wall Street.
The bill would create a new Consumer Protection Bureau. It also lays down new rules for overseeing the mostly unregulated, multi-trillion-dollar derivatives market. Republicans say the bill will make banks less competitive. Lawrence White, an economics professor at New York University, says not really.
The American banks will be less competitive in the more risky stuff, and if other countries want to be the host for that kind of stuff, more power to them. If they want to run the casino, let them.
The Senate bill also creates a bank-funded $50 billion pot of money that would pay for an orderly wind-down of a failing institution. Republicans want to gut the provision, calling it another bailout. But White sees it as a backup mechanism in case disaster hits Wall Street again. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
In Yazoo City, Mississippi, which was slammed by a powerful tornado yesterday, people held Sunday services outside the demolished building of a Baptist church, the choir singing the hymn, "Till the Storm Passes By." A member of the choir found a hymnal in the debris open to that hymn. Residents of the town, such as little Abrashiana Moore, say they're just grateful that they survived.
The storm hit the bottom of my house and laid the roof on the concrete. And I'm glad that I wasn't in the house.
The house was destroyed. Moore's family had been set to move into it next week. More than 100 homes in Mississippi are now uninhabitable, and hundreds more sustained damage. This is NPR News from Washington. Choppy waters in the Gulf of Mexico have prevented, for a second day, a resumption of the cleanup of the oil spilled when a drilling rig exploded and sank last week. Tens of thousands of gallons of oil are thought to be leaking at the site each day. The Coast Guard says the plan is to use a remote-controlled submarine device to try to trigger an emergency shutoff valve at the wellhead. But the wellhead is submerged under 5,000 feet of water, so there's no assurance the plan will work. South Korea's defense minister says a torpedo is the most likely cause of an explosion that tore apart and sank a South Korean warship near the border with North Korea last month. From Seoul, Dwali Saikautau reports that a preliminary investigation also supports that conclusion.
This weekend, South Korea raised the front part of a small naval warship that sank last month, killing 46 sailors. The chief investigator says it's too early to determine what caused the explosion, but the initial visual inspection of the inside and outside of the hull suggests an external explosion. The country's defense minister, Kim Tae-young, says he thinks the bubble jet effect caused by a heavy torpedo is the most likely cause for the blast. Seoul's presidential Blue House has not directly blamed Pyongyang for the mysterious explosion, but government and military officials have said it was likely a torpedo attack. The ship sank in disputed waters between North and South Korea. The North has denied any involvement in the explosion. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Saikautau in Seoul.
Middle East envoy George Mitchell heading back to the U.S. He was unable to persuade the Palestinians to take part in indirect peace talks with Israel, but in a sign he may have made some progress, Mitchell says he'll return to the region next week. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.